del catch-up.
Okay, perfect. Good morning, everybody, and welcome for this webinar, which will mainly focus on the end user. So how to support them in choosing for the right modes or the sustainable modes. We first have a few practicalities from our side, and that is we are quite some large group, so we would like to ask you to keep your mic and your video off at all time. This will help quite a lot. Also, Peter and myself, we will moderate this webinar. So if you have a question, please put this in the chat box, and we will moderate this at the end of every presentation. Also good to know is that we will also record this webinar, because there were a few people who couldn't join at this moment. If you disagree with that, also please signal this in the chat box so that we can stop recording. And a final practicality is that you already received the participant list, and you can also see it in the button participants who is in the call, and also the slides you will receive afterwards later today. What we usually try to do is also make use of Menti. So this is an interactive tool where we will use this for the discussion later on. But we already have a first question waiting for you, just to show you how this system works. People who often join our webinars know this. So let me share, see if already this is working. So you can enter via the website by using your smartphone.
It's great.
Yeah, it's indeed a nice mixture, public-private. So we'll come back to this Mentimeter later on. So I'll go back to the slides. Very briefly, in a nutshell, for those who don't know ITS that well, and why we are organizing this webinar. So we are a public-private association active within the mobility domain, and we aim for sustainable mobility via ITS smart mobility solutions. So this means that we stand in between authorities and companies. We see quite often best practices happening in city A and something totally different in city B, or in a region or in other countries. So we always try to share the best practice that we see. And also we try to align, harmonize where possible, and actually getting the noses pointing in the same direction. So we represent quite an interesting network of public-private organizations. So on the public side, you see all policy levels in Belgium, from the federal level, the regions, to key cities. On the private side, you will see some sector federations, multinationals, but also SMEs. Quite a large group of interesting people. Together with our members, we've defined four priorities. So priorities where it is needed that there's a lot of discussion, there's need for consensus. It always also helps to have one opinion with a large group. And so we have four priorities, and the webinar of today is part of this group. We also have a Belgian Mass Alliance. We've assembled together with them an action plan consisting of five axes. And the webinar of today is, of course, has to do with the end user awareness. Quite a lot of things happened in the past, but this is the main focus for today. And that was for me all. Now I'd like to give the floor to Peter, who will explain you more a bit on the topic and the agenda for today.
Thank you, Kurt. And I think this slide speaks for itself. Most people will have seen the agenda, and so I warmly welcome Eloise and Marijke, Xavier, Klaas, Roland and Amaury, that will actually highlight different aspects of insights actually in behavior, mobility behavior, but also instruments that that influence this. So without further ado, I propose to give the floor to Eloise. And she will actually talk about the current status of the mobility budget. So, Eloise, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. So I'm Eloise de Villegas, and I'm responsible for mobility in the Federation of Enterprise in Belgium. So just a quick word on FEB. You can go to the next slide, Kurt. Thank you. We are so the voice of companies in Belgium. So we represent more than 50,000 enterprises in Belgium, and that is more or less 75% of employment in the private sector. So our members, is the next slide, please. Yeah, so we have around 50 members in the FEB, so it's mostly a federation. Thank you. So next slide. So I'm here today to speak to you about the mobility budget. I'm pretty sure most of you already know about it and already had plenty of presentation about it. So I'm not going to go too much in details, but just a quick recap. So the mobility budget entry, no, it's just before, sorry. Entry, thank you. Entry into force on the March 2019. So the idea of this system is really to give an alternative to people who already have a company car or may have a company car. And it's the idea to give an opportunity to the solely company car. So you will get a budget with the total cost of ownership of your car, your company car, and then can use it on other mode of transport or other sustainable service, mobility services. So we are really convinced since the beginning, that it's an opportunity to be seized because it offers a lot of flexibility for the employee. So it's also an attraction for talents for companies. We are sure that today more and more people will be happy to be able to use a different mode of transport. It's a solution also for parking and congestion problem, and company, for example, in Brussels have a lot of problems with parking and stuff like that. And all of this is, of course, going in the right direction with all the climate challenge and environmental challenge that we know about. And all this with this of this system with the same tax advantage that's a company car. So next slide. So it's based on three pillars. This system is based on those three pillars. So as I said, you will get an amount of money based on the total cost of ownership of your company car. And then you will be able to use it on those three pillars. So the first one is optional. You can choose for a company car still, but this will have to be this car will need to be environment friendly. So then if you still have money or you didn't took any car, you will go to the second pillar, which is based on sustainable mobility services and transport mode. So it's really wide. You can use it on, you can rent, you can buy your ticket for public transport. You can rent a bike. You can even rent a car for your holidays. For example, you don't have a car, but just for your holidays. You can even pay your rent if you live less than 5 kilometers away from your work. So that's give a lot of opportunities. And in the end, if you still have cash in your mobility budget, the remaining balance will be given in cash every year. So those three pillars have different tax system. So the first one is as a normal company car. The second one is there is a tax exemption and you will pay no social contribution. And then for the third one, the employee and only the employee will have to pay 38.07 or 05% of social contribution. So the aim is really to push the two first pillar. Yes, thank you. Where are we now? So the latest figures that I found was from January 2020. And at that time, 0.011% of employees got a mobility budget. So that's pretty low for the moment. But I will explain just after some of the reason I think why it is so low. To this point, the law has not yet been passed. The law is not always clear, but so there is a website which is managed by different SPF. Which there is a lot of information on this website, but what is good is that it gives clarification on some part of the law who could be unclear. So there is already a lot of answer over there, but there is still problems. So that's the next slide. Thank you. What are the remaining issues? So first of all, I think we still need to give some time to the system. If you want it to be a success, it's gonna take a little bit more time. First of all, because leasing contract is always for 4 to 5 years. And so it costs a lot of money to stop it before. So of course, maybe people would like to take a mobility budget, but they have to still finish their leasing contract. The second point I think also is that there is, if people still want to take a car in their mobility budget, the offer of cars on the market is not yet as big as we can expect. It's getting better and better year after year, so I think that's going to be less and less a problem, but it can still be a break for some of people. There is still some breaches in the law in itself. So for example, parking are not yet a mobility service that you can use. Here I'm specifically speaking about parking around city. So we think it's still a solution also if you take your car, get to those parking, and then you take another mode, a sustainable or a mode to get in the city. I think that on the website, they say that actually you could bring those parking into the mobility budget, but well, that is unclear, and it will be great that can be really right in the law. There is also the formula for total cost of ownership. It's not defined in the law, and so a lot of companies have questions about it. Okay, what do I need to take in it and stuff like that. So again, on the website, they say that you can, they say example of what you can bring into those total cost of ownership, but it's unclear. Sorry. and finally, what I heard about companies on the, what they say is that they're really interested in the mobility budget. They find it really interesting and a good idea, but they will be happy to offer it to more than just the people who already have a company car, that may have a company car. So they would like a broader application of this. On the other hand, it's still the morning. There is also the cafeteria plan, and this is sometimes companies find it easier because they already have one. They know better how to manage it and stuff. And there you can also offer. Sometimes it's broader what you can offer in the cafeteria plan. And there is also the administrative simplicity. I think a lot of companies, because sometimes the law is unclear, they don't understand everything about the mobility budget. So it takes time to explain to them what is the mobility budget, what is the advantage, and so on. And the administrative is not always easy because, for example, each employee need to have a mobility account where they can find back their mobility budget and a lot of information on it. So that's not always easy. So next slide. Another point, what I think is really important is, as you may know, there is another system next to the mobility budget, which is called Cash for Cars. So there, the idea is really that you give back your car and you get money instead. So that was a law from 2018, but since January of this year, it has been cancelled by Constitutional Court. The law is still effective until the end of this year, if no other legislation enter into force before. But then, so after this year, the cash for cars will not more exist. The reason why it was cancelled, it's because they found that the principle of equality and non-discrimination was not respected. Because they find that this cash, it's like, in the end, salary, that it's just with tax exemption. And on the other hand, also they found that there was no clear link between cash for cars and to be sure that it was actually, it will get to more environmental targets or environmental targets. And so, that was the two reasons they mentioned. So in this question, what about the mobility budget? We are a little bit scared that the same could happen to mobility budget. We think there is less reason because really with the mobility budget, as I've said, they try to push the two first pillar because the tax is more advantaged with those two pillars. But so there is a better link between the system and the environmental challenge. But still, we are a little bit scared about the third pillars. So we're not sure. Next slide, please. So what are the next steps now for us? First of all, is avoiding that there is also a cancellation of the mobility budget. As I've said, I think there is less reason, but still we're a little bit scared about it. So we're going to make sure that it's not going to happen. Second point, as FEB, we try to work on to make sure that to work on existing problems. So as I've said, we are always happy to hear also about companies, what are the problems that they find out about mobility budget. And we already try to speak with some people from the parliament, and some of them are really open to speak about this subject and will be okay to reopen the law if we need to and to modify it. But to be honest, for the moment, I think it's not really the priority of anyone, but I'm pretty sure that maybe in the beginning of the year, in September or so, we will have better and good discussion about these topics. And last but not least, we are really convinced that all the solutions proposed by the market, and I think we're going to hear about it today too, will for sure facilitate implementation. As I've said, companies are sometimes really interested, but sometimes a little bit scared about mobility budgets. It's not always easy to understand. So I think all those solutions proposed by the market are really doing a great job of explanation to the companies and offer beautiful solution to help companies to really bring into life the mobility budgets. And I hope that it's gonna come more and more, and then in a few years we will see a beautiful figures of people who decide to take a mobility budget, because I really think it's an opportunity to have a sustainable mobility for all the companies. So I'm open for any question. I see that there was some things already in the chat. I don't know if Peter or Kurt.
I keep one eye to the chat while speaking. And I propose indeed that we have one or two questions after every talk, and of course also at the end of the webinar. Do you see Matteo's question, Eloise? If an employer only foresees pillar two,
yes,
with a pool car for each group of two or three employees, I would assume that maybe the average cost per user can be put in pillar two, I guess. And
I think if I'm right, if you have a pool car, it cannot get in the mobility budget, so it's something else. If you have a company car in the mobility budget, it really has to be like a normal company car. And if you decide to put pool car for employees who can use it, I think it's not getting in the mobility budget. So it's something next to it. And there, so it's another tax, it's gonna be another tax system for it too.
All right. We also see a question of Mark on indeed the hard reasons for companies to change. Now, we have a couple of other presentations and experiences on the mobility budget, Eloisa. Maybe I would propose to come back to that one towards the end, because most likely it will be covered or partially covered. I slipped in one, Eloisa, as you might have seen. Has VBO made any recent proposals for changes? We know that issues like a broader user base, and maybe we should be specific, maybe not every employee immediately, but a second target group, the park and rides, for instance, and also the fact that the company cars you can move to are quite restricted. Now, have you made any recent changes, and what's the scope for influencing for change indeed in the short run?
Yeah, so as I said, we write a document internally, in interns to say all the problems that we see already. So a little bit, as I've said, parking and so on, but there is also others. And we already try to speak with people, and they're open to speak about it. But unfortunately, with the situation right now, it's really not the main focus. So we are still working on it, and definitely it's gonna, I think now also with the holidays that we start, it's not always the good moment to speak about all those things, but definitely we are working on it, and we're gonna continue on it.
Yeah,
but it's sure.
Who's ready to support and bundle forces? Maybe one last one from Floris. And Floris, you're on the call. Maybe you can clarify. The marginal utility for an employee is negative. Interesting in the sense that on pillar two, you do not pay any taxes on company cars. You do. So why is the marginal utility a negative? Floris, please.
The advantages of having a company car versus everything in the mobility budget and the flexibility. I mean, there's a reason why this system is not popular. It's not just the unclarity, it's just not a good system. So should then the line of communication of companies not be simply, guys, let's start again. This clearly does not work. Look at this. I mean, 0.01%, it sounds like it's a ridiculous legislation at this point. While we all agree that the principle is wonderful, so shouldn't we be much more radical than trying to improve a few things which might be unclear? Look at the results here; they are close to zero. Let's go back to square one and redesign this. And should that not be the view that we put to the different legislators in this country?
And what would your specific proposal, if you say this, the principle is super, what specific?
I think the principle of endorsing multimodality is, of course, I mean, all here around, I will not plead for that, because all here around, I'll preach to the converted. But the fact that the legislation, that there are three pillars, to start with, that not everything, not all employees are included, that the interpretation of, for example, alternative modes between the social security and tax is different by the two administrations. I mean, there's plenty of examples and where we can say that, this system is so overly complex that amending this law will take forever. We look at the speed it's going now, that we simply might want to reflect on it and do it all again, build it from the ground up, and saying, how would we want to have a view on how the fiscal treatment of mobility of employees should look like? And I don't think we can, we can still fix this law, which is fundamentally flawed.
We'll come back to it, Florence, but maybe to top it off, can you make an example of a radical proposal that could work, that could fix the issues that you mentioned?
Well, there are a few ideas on of course on how we could do it, left and right. I mean, first of all, it would be include that we would define all the modes between social security and fiscal in one way, because for companies trying to explain that the social security treatment of one thing versus the fiscal treatment is different is already you know, it's already complicated to explain to companies, let alone to employees, right?
Mm-hmm. One element. And further, because if that's done, what is your radical improvement to the mobility budget?
The radical improvement to the mobility budget would be a completely neutral view on all modes of transport, right? On the fiscal treatment. So it would mean either a percentage or either a fixed fee per employee that you can spend on whatever it is that you use for.
Yeah, so that would address those all employees and also make it as simple as possible, as you say.
I think if we want to go for adoption, which is bigger than the ridiculous percentage that we saw in the, by the way, excellent presentation. I'm not trying to suit the messenger here, far from it. That we need to address that, right?
Yeah. Okay. Very, very clear. Go ahead.
I can just answer. I totally understand your points, and I agree. I think mobility budget is still. Now it's cannot apply to everyone, but I think it's still a good solution for some of the people. And it's already also, it's showing that, okay, companies and employees can do a step forward and in the right direction. But I heard your point, and to be honest, FEB is totally working also on that. We are really looking, but it's not easy. So I'm not gonna go too much in the details today, but we are looking in a system which could be really easier. For sure, we are working on to make easier the social contribution and the tax to make it clear for companies. Right, we speak about sustainable mode, so it has to be the same system for all those modes and stuff. So we are trying to work on that, but there is a lot of question. We are also discussing about this with the trade unions, and it's not always easy to have those discussions and to find a compromise for everyone. But definitely, and we will be happy if we can find a system we could offer a kind of mobility budget for all employees, and we'll go in the right direction to try to make people using more sustainable mobility mode.
Thank you for that contribution and answer, Floris and Eloisa. I propose that we move on, but we have some discussion time at the end where we will try to come to conclusions. And we of course ask like the crisp bold ideas. Thanks, Floris. Our next speaker is Marijke, known to many of you as well from the city of Antwerp, and she will take us, I think, to the heart of the matter, that is understanding first and foremost your let's say commuters, customers, and their and what they want. Marijke, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Peter, and thank you for setting a big challenge, because actually the things I brought to you today, it's a kind of a selection of customer insights that we've gathered within the city of Antwerp. But you'll notice at the end of my short presentation that we may fall short when it comes to really describe what's going on in the heads and the lives of our customers. So for me, the basic principle is that, of course, every marketing strategy has to start from a very, very good and strong customer's insight. And you can move to the next slide, Kurt. Kurt? Ah, thank you. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got two presentations open and I was looking at the wrong thing. So the thing is, what do we know for sure? And how do we know this? Every good customer insight also defines in a good way the need that we have to fulfill for our customers. When we look at what we do know today, I think the most of the things that we know are circumstantial. And you can go to the next slide now, Kurt, I'm sorry. Why is it circumstantial? Because most of the surveys that we've been conducting over the past few years are all what we call mobility-oriented or transport-oriented services. We have done services in the city with our own residents. we have now a standard set of questions which we've run in 2017, in 2019. We've done surveys with our visitors, again, 17, 19. We've done a number of surveys with people working in the city, employed by different companies, again in 2017 and in January 2020. So that's very, very recent. This was, of course, pre-corona. So everything I've got to say is, of course, now a little bit changed by the situation we've had a couple of months ago. And we also, for the first time, extended our survey to people working in the region, in the broader region around Antwerp, because we were suspecting that there might be a difference between people working really in an urban context and people working in a more rural context. And you'll see there will be differences. And then, of course, we have another type of survey in the city of Antwerp, one that we've been running since the end of 2009, and which provides us quite a number of customer insights and in trends. It gives us insight in a number of trends across, let's say, the past decade. But again, you'll see by what I'll show you that what we know of about all these target groups is not really describing what their needs are, it's actually describing what their behavior is. And Kurt, you can go to the next slide, where there's the first demonstration of what we know, but then again, it's circumstantial. So we know that when you look at an Antwerp household in the last year, that about 80% of these households owned a car, that more than 80% owned a bike, and that we've seen a big increase in the ownership of electric bikes. And then something else we've seen is that, much to our surprise, almost half of all the households in the city have a year pass with the LEN, and up to 16% has a year pass with the railroad company and MBS. We also saw that a quarter of our households has a year pass on the shared bike system. And these are relevant. These figures are relevant because when we start comparing them with what we know of people living in the broader region, then especially the numbers on the lowest row, they really drop. And when you look at a kind of context where you might introduce mobility as a service, yeah, then you know that this might be challenging. You can go to the next slide now, Kurt. In the next slide, you'll see how the model split amongst our residents has evolved over the past 3 years. So from 17 to 19 onwards, we've seen a decrease in the use of the car. But there I have to say that our residents, they might work within the city, they might work in the port, or they might work somewhere else. They might, for instance, travel to Brussels every day to go and work there. So we see that they kind of start preferring their bikes over their cars. And we also see that there is a slight increase in the fact that they like to combine stuff, because on the slide you see a category called Anders or Other. And here you see that an increase of about 5% up to 6%. And these are actually the people that start combining trips or combining modes on their trips. And again, here you see there is a chance for mass providers to help these people to make their journeys more seamless or more effortless. Because when you look at this group, this really is a group that has to plan his or her journey and that is really depending or relying on, for instance, their own car, but also public transport and the offer of shared mobility in our city. So this is it's a small group. It was not visible in 2014, so it was non-existent then. We saw it for the first time in 17, and now it's really a growing group. You can go to the next slide, Kurt. When you look at the modal split for people going to school. There you see that very little is moving. But then again, this is not the main group. And you see that most of these of this group is really using public transport to get about in the city. What we do see is that, again, here, this group is also kind of combining trips. So here, again, you see a rise of the multimodal trips in the city. When we look at the next slide and see how people get about during their leisure time, here we see, a steep fall of the use of the car. We see a huge increase of multimodal trips in the city. And here we see the first signs that this might be a kind of trip where mass really comes into play. And so leisure time or getting about in the city during for your pleasure or during your leisure time might be an interesting thing to focus on, because here you can really see there is a need here. But again, it's circumstantial. Somebody had a question on the modal split graphs that we're showing. What we're showing here is really how people are getting about, what there is their main mode. But no, people in our question, surveys, they can indicate several kinds of modes. When there is not a main mode, they'll often end up with others. So then it's clear that they are combining stuff. So it's an intricate kind of system that's behind this kind of graphs. When we start looking not at the residents, but at the residents in their different sets of modes, and when we look at the Antwerp Monitor, that's the next graph, Kurt, then you see that again this trend is confirmed there. So it's a different type of survey. It's a longitudinal kind of survey, but here we see that indeed when people do their commute to their workplace, that they start preferring the bike, but that you also see really an increase of multimodal trips. You see the same kind of evolution when people go to school, and you see the same type of evolution in the leisure time. And in leisure time, again, we see that it's always the car that drops, and it's either shared mobility or public transport that is really gaining more market share. When we move to the next target group, that's the group of our visitors. No, indeed, there is a question now, why are there different figures? Well, the figures differ because the surveys differ and the kind of target groups differ. So this is really what we see in the Antwerp Monitor is more like a trend that confirms what we saw in the deeper kind of surveys that we've run on the topic of mobility. An Antwerp Monitor survey is a far broader survey where we have different sets of questions, which often frame questions in a different light. And this might explain why the figures really differ. And this is also why it's key to know what type of surveys have yielded the results that you're looking into. When we have done again a look at our target group visitors, how do they come to the city? These visitors, of course, travel to the city because of a leisure time. And when you travel for your leisure, you see that it's often public transport that you choose. Why? Because you're not that familiar with the city you're traveling to. You might be afraid of finding no parking space or getting stuck in congestion or traffic jams that you don't know, that you're not familiar with. So we see that when people travel to the city in their leisure time and come as a visitor, they often and try to use public transport. And then we see a trend to start combining this public transport with different sets of shared mobility and modes in the city. And this is also something that's on the increase, and for us an indication that, again, leisure time is a far more interesting segment to start promoting mass solutions people traveling in our city or to our city. When we look at the next target group, which is actually the target group of employees working both in the city and in the broader region, this is a more in-depth survey that we conducted actually in 2020, so at the beginning of this year, so a little bit before Corona. And this is the very first time that we've got some information on how do employees working in this broader region travel to their workplace. And here we see that almost half of them come by car, that a third of them come by bike, that only 12%, one out of eight travel by public transport. And then we see that still another 5%, and this is stable, travels by means of combining stuff. So they probably combine cars, bikes with public transport and even shared mobility. So when you go to the next slide, Kurt, you'll see that there's a difference between people working in the city and people working in the region, in the broader region. There you see that there's a big gap, especially when you look at the car. And here I think we might have something that comes in alongside the mobility budget, but also alongside the way that employers support, for instance, the use of a bike, whether they foresee something like a kind of a small allowance to make up for the for your bike trips and stuff like that. We also see that in these companies, more than 20% of the employees have got a company car. And this, of course, has a huge impact on the fact that people use their car to travel to their workplace. So there's a big difference between the use of public transport and the use of the fact that the use of the bike is not really promoted when you look at the companies in our transport region. But we do see that in the city, people do use public transport and they do use their bikes. But I think the need to do that is also a bit bigger. And the reason for that is, of course, you've got more congestion you have to take into account when you go or travel to the city. Congestion is not really an issue in the broader region. There's also a big difference in travel time. People working in the city often have a commute of more than 3/4 hour per trip, whereas in the transport region, the average commuting time per trip is less than 30 minutes. So you can see that when you induce, let's say, actually negative elements like a longer travel time or more likelihood to be stuck in a traffic jam, this really helps people to try out alternatives like, for instance, public transport or the bike to cover the trips. And this is not really there a need in our transport region. So when you look at the region, we'll probably have to come up with more positive and other incentives to make people change their behavior or to leave their cars at home. When we look at the next set of things that we do know, we've been trying to look at what is the potential when we look at these employees both working in the city and in the broader region. Then we can see that mainly on the basis of the fact that we know where they work and where they live, so we got kind of an average estimation of the distance that they've got to travel, then we can kind of calculate the potential on the basis of the data that we've got from the last survey. And then we see that about 40% of the people that don't live in Antwerp, but that work in the city, they are using today their car, but they might change or shift the car for switch their car for a bike. And when we look at the people living in Antwerp who still use their car, then only one out of five is might be a shifter towards the bike. This is really a translation of the next graph. And the next graph, it's a graph that we first drew in 2017. And in this graph, here we map the type of transport used along the kind of distance that people travel. And then we see that when you travel, for instance, for less than 2.5 kilometers, then most people or half of the people use their bike very often. And we see that car use is really very low, but still it's about 20% uses their car to travel less than 2.5 kilometers. For me, it's a distance I like to walk. It's amazing that people still use their car for that. But then you see that the red line and blue line, it crosses somewhere in 2017, we see that it crosses somewhere around 5 kilometers, whereas up to 7.5 kilometers, that's still a very good distance that you can do by bike, or it's a distance where even public transport is really competitive or really competing with the car, especially in a dense area like a city. Although we see that, for instance, public transport, it only crosses the use of the bike when we look at people living about 20 kilometers away from their workplace. It's not really a competitor in this scheme. When we look at the next slide, we see how this has kind of shifted. For us, the cross we had in 2017 was really, it was for us the kind of the baseline that we took, and we said we need to shift the point where bikes and cars cross, and we also want to shift the point where bikes and public transport cross, because we really want to make public transport also more attractive in the longer distance. And what you see in this graph is that indeed the cross has already a little bit shifted within the city. So with employees working in the city of Antwerp, we see that due to the kind of efforts that we've done with the biggest employers in the city itself, that more and more people have taken up the use of a bike, and especially of an electric bike. And now you see that it's far less than a cross. It's kind of you see parallel lines coming into existence. And so we know that it won't take us a lot of time before we really see that the blue line is really crossing the red line at 10 kilometers rather than at 7.5 kilometers. So for us, this is kind of a marketing line that we are now looking at. But again, it's circumstantial because it's telling us nothing about what is the need, why are people doing this. This is something that we know from other kind of surveys, that is that people are really taking to the electric bike rather than the speed pedelec, because it's really the electric bike that's really been taken up quite a lot. It's I think when you look at the 15% of people who now use an electric bike, I think about two-thirds of them have a normal electric bike, whereas only one-third is resorting towards a speed pedelec. And it's a speed pedelec that's used for distances which are further away than 15 kilometers. Under the reach of 15 kilometers, we see it's an electric bike that's really preferred and that's used to cover that distance. So this is what we see within the city. This is when we look at the next slide. Within the region itself, we see that the graph is still in 2020. It's still very close to the first graph we showed for 2017 in the city. So we know that here there's still quite a lot of work to be done. And something that we have to really take into account here is that public transport doesn't come into play. And this is mainly due to the fact that public transport is not that widely available or accessible within the region itself. So here, there's no point that bikes, use of the bike is being exceeded by the use of public transport. Okay, this brings us to the next slide, where we see that when we look at public transport in the wider region, it's only 10% of our frequent car users that can resort to public transport. And this is also an indication, I guess, when we resort to MaaS, I think MaaS really is a solution for urban travelers, whether they're commuters or whether they are leisure travelers. But it's something that we, if we really want to introduce this, it has to be combined with things like a mobility budget, and it has to be combined on a broader scale just to get it introduced within our more regional or within the more rural located companies. This is also reinforced by the next slide, where you can see when we look at the frequent use of cars versus the frequent use of bikes and the frequent use of public transport. And that brings me to the very last slide. The very last slide, which is something, it's a bit of a naughty slide, because you know that within the city, we also coach a number of companies or employers to help their employees to travel in a more sustainable way. And we've got, on the basis of what we call a mobility scan, we can also predict the potential of the shifters within a company. And we've got two ways of calculating this potential. We can take into account the fact that the company has company cars, and we can keep the company cars out of the equation, but we can also include the company cars in the equation. And what we see then is what you see on the potential that we see for car. When you leave out the company cars, we might reduce the use of the car from 66% to 5%. And that's a huge reduction that we could make. And we could shift quite a number of people from public from this car to public transport. This is the largest group that can shift. And we can also shift quite a large group towards the use of bikes and electric bikes. So it's quite amazing what we see here. The fact that there is a huge potential for people to shift. This is for companies located within the city, of course, not located within the region, because we saw on the previous ones that within the region, it's far more difficult. But within an urban context, it really is possible. We see that this is a potential, but this comes, brings me to the next slide, which is also one that holds a number of questions for me as well. Even though we see this potential, does this potential also match the need that we were trying to fulfill? And I think the answer there is no. It's not really giving an indication of the need. It's the need is something that we still need to create. And so I think there's quite a lot of marketing work that needs to be done there. We really need to create the feeling that people that we are going to provide them an offer where the car is not the normal answer, but where other types of transport are the normal type of answer. So this is where I'd like to bring you today. I've seen quite a number of questions pop up, but I'm sorry, I was not able to cover them all.
No worries, Marijke. I see indeed maybe a couple of questions for clarification. The carpooling, was it in car use or in other?
Carpooling gets us to so few percentages. It's only 2% of all commuters that resort to carpool, whereas in quite a number of studies, you see that the impact of carpool is often estimated at 10% or even higher. But we see that this is not reflected in what we get back. So it's not a kind of a solution that car drivers would resort to. And this is because there are quite a number of barriers that are being that are brought forward when you talk to people about why are you not going or resorting to carpooling. There are quite a number of reasons.
Yeah, and then maybe a last one, Marijke, for clarification. This potential, this use potential that you ended up in your last slide, in a city context, of course, how exactly is it calculated?
It's calculated on the basis of a set of algorithms. So when you have a trip which is less than 7.5 kilometers, we think that it's wiser to use a bike, and it's often for most people possible to use a bike. If you have a trip where you can cover the distance with a public transport and it takes you less than 1.5 times than by using a car, then we'll try to advise you public transport. Our algorithm also includes the use of the car and a public transport, so combinations. So we've defined train stations and park and rides also as elements that come into play. And so this has also been taken along in this algorithm. And when people cover a distance of more than 20 kilometers, then we also look at public transport. But if public transport takes you far longer than 1.5 time, then it's not suggested as a solution. We've also looked at carpool as a solution, then again, because of the fact that people need to travel to their co-workers to share the car, it's often the effect there is often really very minimal.
Yeah, very clear, Marijke. Thank you for this presentation, and frankly, to take us through the data, only by really knowing and seeing what we're talking about, we can also talk about marketing and impactful measures. Towards the end of the call, we will actually come back to the most impactful marketing elements that you're referring to. Of course, we know the Slim naar Antwerpen campaign is one of them, but I also have heard you say it's not just the marketing, it's of course also the offer, the alternative that needs to be constructed, need to build, be built.
No, and this is really the point I wanted to make, because most of our presentations have been going on, we've been focusing on awareness and customers' awareness and stuff like that. These are topics that I've dealt with in other presentations, but it's not about awareness. It's really about creating a need. And when the need is there, the awareness will come. I could have given you the figures of the awareness about mass, but they are so disencouraging that I decided not to present them. So, and the same goes for shared mobility. The figures there again, the fact that the awareness figures are so low, it's really not encouraging to present them. So we know that there still needs, we still need to do quite a lot of marketing work, but especially on making people feel the need to change their behavior. So that's the first thing to do.
Clear, Marijke. I keep an eye on the time, so we will move on to the next presentation, and Xavier. Many people know Xavier Takoun from many mass-related initiatives, and I would propose, without further ado, that Xavier take us through his experiences, also firsthand working with people on multimodality and multimodal choices. Xavier, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning to everyone. And thank you to ITS for inviting us and for organizing this very interesting webinar. I think those two first presentations were very interesting because they show actually that mass is a concept, that mobility in budget is a concept, that we all wish to change travel behaviors of people, but that it's complex. It's very complex. And our philosophy, because Maestro Mobile is a lab, and maybe Kurt, I can ask you to go to the next slide. We actually set up this lab a few years ago because we discovered actually that it was very difficult to change travel behaviors. This is something that is new, but actually, our philosophy is that the thing is we don't need to focus too much on car use. because if you just focus on car use, it doesn't work. Actually, you need to support the whole ecosystem, and it was very relevant based on the surveys made in Antwerp that actually we focus so much on public transport, but actually public transport is a niche. If we look at the figures, public transport is a niche, but we invest billions every year in public transport. And the thing is, the philosophy of our lab, working with all actors, is to actually change and to make people master, really to master their mobility. I think it's very important to master one's mobility, because things are changing. We've seen that due to the health crisis, people do not want to use public transport anymore. But the question is, if they don't want to use public transport anymore, what are they going to use? Is it their car? Is it the bike? Is it the shared bike? Is it the kick scooter? Is it the shared car? And so on. And this is, I think it's a key element. And this is what I would like to present to you today, based on what we could develop those last years. And I will present you different concepts that we've tried. And we hope that we can work with all of you in the future to let mass become a reality, but based on a very human approach and not a technological approach. So thank you, Kurt, for the next slide. So first of all, so our lab, it's a small lab, just a few people, but we started in 2016, and actually year after year we could engage more and more people. And last year, I mean, it was a very interesting year. We could have different initiatives, and we believe that something that should be monitored, how many people, and exactly to what Marek just said, we still have a lot of people to convince, but not only car users. We need to convince everyone that they should change. I mean, of course, if you are a daily bike user, we don't want you to change maybe anything, but maybe tomorrow you will get injured and then you don't know how to use public transport. So everyone needs to be engaged in this and to know the mobility system. So next slide, please. So our philosophy is to say that mobility is not a hassle. It has to be fun. The problem is mobility is seen as something negative. All of the time we talk about congestion, environmental problems, cost for the society, and so on. We don't believe this is the right message. We think that mobility should be fun. I mean, if you are a kid and we tell you we will teach you to ride a bike, the experimentation will be fun. And it's exactly what the car industry does. It's fun to drive a car. I mean, it's an experience. And so this is why we developed this lab, and to switch from communication, because communication, it doesn't work. It will never change the travel behavior of someone, but switch from communication to experimentation, have kind of training programs, but funny training programs, and of course, work on the rewarding approach, because it's very, very important. It can be done at company level, at school level, at city level, at any level. But we believe that the concept of rewarding is really important, because it's a game. And when you play a game, you want a reward if you win. And this is an important thing. So it's not a new concept. And there are many, many awareness programs available in Belgium. We have the excellent bike to work program made by Fietsersbond. We have the bike experience in Brussels. For example, in Vlaams-Brabant, the Fietsstads, in the Walloon region, Tous Vélo Actif, and so on. But as you can see, most of them are not multimodal. They always concentrate on one aspect of mobility. Change from car use to bike use, which is excellent, but not enough, not sufficient. This is what I believe. And this is why I think altogether we should be supporting... Can you hear me? Just to make, because I think there was a loss of connection. Peter, can you just check?
It's perfect.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. And I think this is what's important is to work all together to make this global experience. And very interesting about the figures presented by Marek, and also the ones presented by Eloise, the mobility budget doesn't work. I think it will never work, because it's not the right thing to do. It's necessary to have this legal approach, but it's not sufficient. we should invest all together in those awareness programs, in those experimentation with all mass providers, because otherwise mobility budget will not work, mass solutions will not work either, because people do not understand the complexity of mobility. It's really complex to change travel behavior. So next slide, please. So we have three concepts, and those concepts are evolving. So some of the slides are in French here, but those three concepts are different. A city game, it's a concept for many people for a very short time. It's just an afternoon when people will play mobility in a city. I insist on the fact they will play mobility. People come for playing, and they end the day with learning something. Then we have Mobility Passport, which is a training program of 3 weeks. I will come back on this. And then we have the coaching solution, which is critical mass and really becoming a master of your mobility by coaching you. It's exactly the same as being coached for using new softwares, for taking to having a better work-life balance and so on. Exactly the same concept. We need to be coached because changing travel behavior is really complex. So the first concept, Kurt, it's the city game, very easy concept. Actually, we've done it many times now. In Belgium, we're starting activities abroad as well, now in Paris, in Rouen, and so on. And the concept is, let's play mobility. Everything is available in a city, so let's have a play game. And we organize that for companies, for municipalities, and so on. And it works very well because it's a small group of people. Everyone has a kind of knowledge. And there's a good atmosphere in the group, and people are ready, are willing to test things that they don't know. And the concept is simple: 10 places in a city, and every time you need to take another transport mode. Those are the rules, and those concepts are working quite well. So maybe we can move to the next slide. And so, as I said, for people, they can have questions about mobility. They can go to places in a city that they do not know, which is also very important. And we try also to incorporate not only travel behavior, but also just behavior, like working in the co-working area, taking the train after rush hour. And those things are really important if we want to manage mobility, because the problem is we focus too much on transport mode. But this is not the answer. The answer is to flatten the curve and to avoid that people all rush at the same time to the same places. So we need to reinvent mobility in that way, because if you don't have this geographical split and this temporal split, it's impossible to manage mobility. So this was the city game, some interesting impacts. If we may, thank you, Kurt, you're very advanced on what I'm saying. So people like it because they're playing. Most people, 75% say that actually it changed their views on mobility. And exactly what Marek said, everything does exist now. I mean, of course, we will integrate more things through MaaS and a very digital integration, but all services, they do exist. We have public transport, we have shared bikes, we have shared cars, we have everything. But the problem, I'd like to say, we had, because many actors are actually abandoning because it doesn't work, because of a lack of awareness, a wrong business model, and so on. So maybe we can move to the second concept. The second concept is an individual concept. It's called Mobility Passport. The thing is, okay, let's take 3 weeks, and you have people that can take any service during those 3 weeks. We have an app for that. It's not a mobility app, it's a training app. And every week, every day, you have new challenges. Okay, today you need to take the line bus from outside of Brussels to Brussels. Okay, tomorrow or next week, you need to make a new mobility mission. It's to go on the carpool platform, subscribe, and try to find a carpooler, and so on. Those are always the same concept, but it works well. But this program is individual. We did it already 3 or 4 times. I don't remember. We have a new program starting in Brussels in September. And it works pretty well because there's a community, and you got rewarded, because every time you make things, it's exactly like a passport, like traveling to an interesting country. You will get a stamp on your passport. It's exactly the same concept. And then you have a ranking per company or between individuals, and there's a stake. And since there is stake, people like to play to it. Can have a look at the impacts on the next slide. again, so we're very happy to say that people really like it because they can do it when they have time. There's no problem. They can make it during the weekend. They can make it in the evening. The only concept is please experiment things and then you will discover new things. And what's interesting, it's a bit small, but what you see on the graph, it's actually the use of people after participating to a mobility passport. So this is a survey we made a few weeks after the event. And what we see that most people are using shared mobility, including public transport, more after this event. It's exactly what we want. But not only public transport, it can be own bike, it can be a shared bike, it can be a shared car. And this is what is MaaS. MaaS is being able to use different things instead of your own car. And then we will move to the third concept, which is the more, and something is missing, but it doesn't matter. Actually, this is really a coaching program. It is a small group, maximum 15 people during 10 days. And everything is happening. If you come back the slide before, if you don't mind, Kurt. Everything is happening actually on WhatsApp, because we want to make a group, a community, and people, they just exchange. Okay, I tried for the first time Cambio. I don't know how it works. I don't know how to take the card. So we really look at every step of the travel behavior change, because travel behavior is not opening an app. That's just a part of it. Changing travel behavior is knowing that taking the key of a Cambio, it's in the glove box and so on, that you need to bring it back to that special place and so on. And very important thing. So you may go to the next slide. Thank you, Kurt. And so, as I said, small groups, 7 to 10 days of experimentation. And we include a bike or a kick scooter in the package, and a mobility budget of 150 euros, which is approximately what cost a car for a week, around 600 euro a week. And those And those programs are quite interesting because if we go to the next slide, we see again that people, after just a week, it took them a week. Most of them, I mean, 40% of them, they directly bought a bike or a kick scooter. And some of them, they decided to sell their car. And they use, as you can see, they use after the challenge, the use of their car has decreased. Not totally, but it was not the aim, but actually decreased. But what we see, exactly what we've seen in the figures of Marek, that the use of public transport also decreased. And it's not a bad objective, actually, because public transport is very costly, and it's better to have people on bikes than on public transport. I'm not saying that we should disinvest public transport, but we should better balance our mobility ecosystem with the more bikes. So I'm at the end of the presentation, just a few remarks. So you will look at them afterwards, but people are happy by those systems. My conclusion is, there's a market for awareness activities related to MaaS. I'm very much convinced by that. But there's a market, but companies will never pay for it. After 4 years of experience, I can tell you that the biggest companies in Belgium, they will pay 1,000 euro per year, maximum 1,000 euro per year for awareness related to mobility. And I'm talking about big companies. So there's a market, but this market cannot be directly activated through companies. And this is why a program like Slim Naar Antwerpen, Split in Ghent, and so on, those programs are vital, because we need altogether the support of a federation like ITS, like FEB, BCE, VOCA, and so on. We need the support of public authorities, of PTO, of mobility providers. But the thing is that actually, before getting the support, we should all understand that MaaS is not a digital integration. I see that someone is saying that public transport is not a niche. No, this is true. It is not a niche. It is the backbone of the system. But it's a lot of money for having this backbone. And of course, it should remain, it should improve. But we should, I think, rebalance. And I've been coordinating the Good Move regional plan for the Brussels region. And the main message is continue to invest in public transport, but please do invest in bike infrastructure. And this is what we see from Antwerpen figures. Actually, public transport has been losing quite a lot of market share in Antwerpen. But it's not a problem because it's very good. People move to their bike. And what I want to say is MaaS is not a technology, but an ecosystem. It should be inclusive, physical, financial, and very human. It's too much technology driven. This is what I believe. And we should all invest all together, because if we move to the next slide, actually marketing in the mobility sectors is driven by a car industry. And I see that the arrow maybe has moved a little bit. But if we look at the investments in marketing in Belgium, they're all done by the car industry. I analyze that every year. It's around 350 million a year. Compared to mobility providers, including public transport, I mean, there's an enormous gap between those two. And marketing is not having billboards in the street. It's exactly like Marek said, we need to have a direct marketing to let people test things, to change their habits in a very, very interesting way. So I thank you for your attention, and I would be happy to integrate, to answer to your questions.
Thank you very much, Xavier. I think your point is well taken, that behavioral changes is very complex. Very interesting how close you got. And one thing that comes to my mind is that a mobility budget could create an opening actually for people experimenting or getting personal coaching or advice. We'll have to watch the time a little, Xavier, and come back to this also towards the end. In terms of questions, if it's fine, there were more a couple of observations made. I think your messages were very clear. I propose, if it's fine, that we move on to the next speakers and come back, let's say, in the overall discussion to what is most impactful in order to achieve this behavioral change. So without further ado, I would like to give the floor to Klaas Olbrecht, who will actually, from a perspective of the Social Secretariat, inform us about his experiences on assisting with multimodal choices. So Klaas, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Peter. So I have been, over the last couple of years, mainly focused on the reward and flexible reward more particular. So the cafeteria plans they talk about. So that's a bit like Eloise talked about. The last couple of years, the mobility budget has been talked about as a golden solution. But in reality, there have been mobility budgets of a la lettre for a couple of years now, where we work in cafeteria plan, can size your car for bike leasing, which is very popular over the time. Other mobility solutions, public transportation. So that's something we have been doing a couple of years now and are really happy about. So now I'll talk a bit how, like Peter said, how our customers think about the mobility budget and MaaS mobility as a service. And what better way to do that to ask them themselves. So yesterday we had a seminar about reward and mobility, and we took the opportunity to ask some questions, which I would like to share the results with everyone here. Next slide, please. So just to give a about the population, there were about 40 HR compound band managers, which represent about 40,000 employees. But that was a bit the participation list. So the first question was, did you consider putting in place the legal budget? So as you can see, 75% has been thinking about the mobility budget to put it in place. But in this group, none of them started. So the second question was, are you putting in place the mobility budget this year? And none of them has chosen to do so. So then the next question was really, yeah, why didn't you? And what are the negatives about the mobility budget? So if you go to the next slide, I didn't translate them yet. I'm sorry for that, but I will talk about the more important insights. And you will see that they are not new. I mean, the administrative hassle. So they are a bit scared of the extra work that would come with it. the mobility budget is more interesting for some than others. I mean, there's a little bit of a discriminating factor in the mobility budget that only people that have a company car can make choices. So that's also one of the big things that come that that we see a lot of companies. They want to have a solution for all the employees and not only for those who have a company car. Then there are a couple of remarks about the offer of the cars in the first pillar, so the ecological cars, that it's just a limited offer, and there are a lot of restrictions. So there's not a lot of cars that are in place at the moment, which is evolving, of course. But and then I'm just going to put away my bag. Yeah, and also it's too rigid, so the rules are much too complex. Here I would like to make a bit the link to bike lease. If you look at a couple of years ago, if you had a bike lease, you had to give in the percentage of private use, so they could determine the benefit in kind, and then you had to pay monthly benefit in kind to use bike lease, and that was something that customers weren't too much happy about. They didn't know what is a good percentage, what is not. And then they changed it, and there was no need for benefit in kind in the bike lease. And we saw a huge increase of the amounts of bike leased with our customers. So there can be made changes into the law that can have a positive effect, like in the case of the bike lease. But I do follow the first question in the session of Eloise. That the mobility budget as it is now will not be a success. And also, as we can see in our customers, they are not waiting for it. They are doing their own initiatives. They are doing things in cafeteria plan and other aspects in that matter. So these are, I think, well-known feedbacks of the mobility budget. If we go to the next slide. After that, we also talked a bit how did they experience homework during Corona times. So one of the questions was, did your vision on homework change during Corona? So that's something that's been in the press as well a lot. So 70% of the customers changed their vision on homework, where a lot of people thought it was not efficient. It changed throughout the last couple of months. And then also very important, the next one, are you going to active stimulate homework after Corona times? And also here, 47% said yes. So this is, I think, a change that will happen over the couple of months. I hope that we can keep it throughout the couple of years where homework is more approved and where it had in the past a bit an idea of if you're working home, you are not efficient and you will be distracted. We see now that a lot of HR people are changing their vision on that, that even in the opposite way, in some functions, it's even more efficient that you don't have the background noises of a typical island where you work on. So that's something that will change. And also we see a lot of questions about that. Can they give an extra fee if they work at home and things like that, just to stimulate even more the homework? And also we get some demands on extra benefits also in the cafeteria plan for internet at home, which was already popular, but maybe to have your desk or an office chair that you can purchase a more interesting second screen. So they are really looking at this time to even more stimulate homework. I will go to the next slide, please. And then about mobility as a service. I just put on a couple of players that we've seen. I'm sorry if I left someone out. But those are the names that we see coming back in most of our customers. And there also we see a lot of skepticism, mainly throughout the effort and how will it work. Will I have to have an extra FTE available to manage all those things? Because the most of customers believe in the idea of those apps. I mean, they all look really great. They have smart route planners. So they like the idea, but But there are two main issues with that. The first one is, will it work automatically, and will I have a seamless payroll? Because they don't want someone to have full time to working on that. And the second part is the offer that beneath the app. I mean, you can have a perfectly app to plan a route and show every provider that's available. But if the offer after in is not good, they will not use it. For example, we have seen some tests with some customers where they did a calculation of a couple of employees if they would make the trip to a city in Antwerp, a city in Brussels, even in Hasselt. And there you can see that a lot of the alternative route through Maas is mostly 50% longer, if even maybe double of the time. And that's something that's very important for corporate businesses. Time is money, as we all say. And if it's the double of the time, they will not change their behavior. So I think this is one of the main things in the entire mobility question, is that the offer, it has to be good. And like we talked about, the backbone of the public transportation. You can, if the route is double the time as a car drive, they will not change their mentality. So I think that will need to be one of the main focuses throughout a couple of years. We've seen in one of the previous presentations, previous sessions, that the work on mobility hubs and initiatives like that. So those are things that are very important to widen the offer and to to improve the efficiency on the travel times. And on the second thing is the automatic payroll, like we talked about. For us as Atentia, it's of course a hassle to work with every party individual. They all have their own way of working. So in that case, it's good that there are parties that combine all those mobility elements. We have customers that work with Figo. We are doing projects with Umbrella. And they are evolving. They all had their pros and their cons, but we see that they are evolving, and more they are interested in working on those types of projects. So what is important here for us? If you look at all those mobility solutions, you can use them within the legal mobility budget, where they have some rules about the fiscality and things like that. But you can also use those mobility apps without the mobility budget. And then there are a whole different rules. They have different pay codes and things like that. So if you would, for example, use Olympus, you can use it in the mobility budget, or you can use it just as an option in, for example, a cafeteria plan. And they have all different ways of calculating wage and asset and things like that. So I think also that is one of the things, if you talk about how can you change the mobility budget, I think the jacket of the mobility budget maybe has to be released, and we just have to make efficient the alternative mobility things like second pillar. Why can we not use the same efficiency rules in the mobility budget for if they want to use mass outside of the mobility budget? So I think that is something that we have to also think about. Okay, so then next slide. And this is also, I think, a very important one. Like I said in the beginning, it doesn't mean that if there's no mobility budget, there's no mobility plan with the customers. I'm sometimes surprised in how creative companies are and have become. They are not waiting on the law to change. They are taking matter into their own hands, some more than others, obviously. But there are some interesting things that are happening. Customers are skeptical about the mobility budget, but like I said, we have been doing mobility plans for a couple of years, where they can do downsizing cars, where they can change a car. And one of the important things here is that you can, for example, let's say you change your car for a bike, you can also choose other things like a smartphone, like other benefits, which are actually more interesting than the 38% in the third pillar. So there's, for the customer as such, at this moment, not a very big advantage to change to the legal mobility budget. So I think if it won't change, it will not be a big success throughout the next year, because also we've seen the numbers of sick character, but it's also the same with us. It's less than 1% of our customers that use the mobility budget. Another thing is like I said, bike lease is very popular. We have about, and this is bike lease within the cafeteria plan. So this is not the use of the bike to go to work. Here we can see that 11% chooses to choose a bike in white colors, and even 22% in blue colors. We even have some exceptions that go to 30 and 40%, especially if they are in blue colors. People live mostly closer to the working area. And also a thing that is increasing is the demand for electric cars, and also everything that comes with it, charging poles and things like that. So that's also something that's changing now. That's, it's still car obviously, but that's some also a trend that you can see, that there's a lot of change. And then one of the things that is going on is that they're decentralizing the offices, where in the past you could see that they all wanted a big office in Brussels or Antwerp and everyone has to go there. Now we are seeing a lot of projects in our customers where they rethink their spaces. For example, the main office is in Brussels, but they have some shops in Ghent or maybe cities a bit outside Antwerp and Brussels, is that they rebuilt those shops, for example, on the first level with a lot of offices, and people that were there can use them as a full-time office. So they are trying to scatter the people throughout their different offices. So that's something that we see also more often now. Homework will take new heights. Like I said before, in Corona times, that will have a positive effect. There will be more homeworking as well. And also, like the previous speaker talked about, working with different timetables. For example, not working 9 to 5, everyone. But we see that now, for example, in Atencia, we have people that start from 7 to, I don't know, 4. And then we have people that start at 9:30, maybe till 7 o'clock. So, and this way you can spread out the traffic as well. So I think that is also a thing that will have a change in the future. Then the test phases for mass, like we said, we had some test phase with a lot of customers. They are afraid of the administrative hassle. Now there are parties that working on that, so that is something that will increase. But the end-to-end process here is key. I mean, it's not just the employee that has to buy his tickets and things like that. It's how much work does the HR officer have? Will it go automatically to the payroll, and will it be all legally correct? Because that's also something that's very important. Like we talked about, the mass route needs to be at least the same travel time, or at least close to. I did some tests myself. I used, I think, almost every app that I've shown. If I do a travel for work and I have to visit the customer, I always check on the apps from what would he propose. And I have to also confirm that most of the time it's longer than with the car, even twice as much. And even though I want to be proactive and leave my car at the office, if it's double of the time, I won't do it, because it's not efficient. And that's something we see in the city, that's okay, but if you go from outside of the city to a city or to another place, it's something that needs to be worked on. And like we said, public transportation outside big cities is not efficient. So in conclusion, I think there are two main things. The first one is the offer of the mobility, and the other one is the concept of the mobility budget. That needs to be rethought, And as last thing, I would say that companies are not waiting and they are taking initiatives themselves. So I think that was a bit in conclusion, the feedback of the mobility budget and the mass in our webinar last night.
Thank you very much, Klaas, for a very rich feedback. And I think your takeaways are also clear, your 3 points. The offer, also the mobility budget, you use the term is more of a straitjacket. Now the jacket has to be relaxed. You talked about need for extra FTEs if it cannot be automatic, and of course also efficiency. So very clear, rich feedback. We will share it, of course, with all the participants. With me, I think you also have kept an eye on the time, and you will see that maybe it's best to give the floor to our two last speakers that you kind of introduced already, Klaas, namely Roland van Renterheim of Vico and Amaury Gérard of Umbrella. And then we will zoom out for what you were indeed saying, what are the most impactful conclusions we can make. So without further ado, Roland, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Hi. So my name is Roland. I'm CEO and co-founder of Vigo. And if you go to the next slide, we and our partners are actually the best friend of this HR team. They want to implement flexible mobility policies to their employees. But as Klaas also say, without all the usual hassle, with all the administration, avoiding the extra FTE, etc. So they actually want to have everything automated together with our partners. And what we are seeing is this is getting very successful. If you go to the next slide, so we are focusing really on enterprise and corporates. We see many corporates are jumping into our platform. By end of the year, we will have tens of thousands of employees on the Vigo platform using also our partners. So this is very interesting and also shaping the direction of a mobility budget. So if you go to the next slide, we are not alone in this. So we are actually the connector between the corporate, their mobility budget, and all the mobility partners. So you have seen indeed the mass apps, the public transport suppliers, fuel, shared cars, lease cars, and many others. At this moment, we are working with 30 plus integrated mobility partners, so full automated processes, and this is growing rapidly. So this is also an open call to other partners where we see where we can shine together. So for us, it's really us together with our partners, and we are building a stronger solution, a stronger proposition together for these enterprises and corporates. If you go to the next slide, also the Cafetaria Plan is an important connection for us. We see indeed, as Klaas is saying, you have the Cafetaria Plan with all the fiscal optimization, with many more options besides the mobility. And we see a very clear connection to the Cafetaria plans of these customers and the mobility plan. And if you go to the next slide, we believe that good advice, good consulting, good advice to our corporate customers is really a very good guide to them. It's crucial for them to implement a good mobility budget. And this is why with Vigo, we embrace these consultants. We let them shine. It's not us, it's them that are guiding our customers throughout the creation of this mobility budget. And if you go to the final slide, this is one of the many things that we have been doing for our customers is that guiding the end user into the right direction. So they are thinking, okay, how do I need to go for a big chunk of my travel? What can I do with my first mile, whether I go to our last mile, and then all the mobility and flexibility, etc., all within a mobility budget. And so I thought I wanted to show you this because this is this was also a session around how to guide the end user into a good direction, at least in our customer mindset. So voilà, so this is it. This is Vigo. Again, we cannot do this alone. We are in this together. Let's partner up. Consulting, Cafeteria Plan, mobility providers, all in a full automated way to build a better, stronger solution to our customers. And we are successful, so just use it, use us as a platform to also be successful to the customers.
Thank you very much, Roland. Very clear. And Vigo is clearly one of these tools that automates what Klaas was mentioned before, all the administrative hassle. So key. We will of course share your slides and contact details, Roland. I propose that we move to Amaury so that we also have a little bit of time at the end of the call to zoom out. Amaury, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, and I hope that you still have a bit of energy for me at the end. So hello everyone, I'm Amaury from Umbrella. To give you a little bit of context, Umbrella is part of the startup studio Labbox. So we're a group of startups focused on mobility, and Umbrella is the latest project that we've launched. We can go to the next slide. To give you a bit of context and stats, you've had many today, but just a few of ones. Most of them are coming from the survey from Espace Mobilité of Xavier, so you might have heard about them. But 60% of Belgian employees say they don't have enough mobility options, so clearly it's a message that they expect their employer to help them on that. For instance, in Brussels, they spend 80 hours in traffic jam every year. That's huge, and we can see that there is a new trend coming in. That's one of the only positive impact of the crisis we've left the recent months, is that we have realized that it was possible to have alternatives in terms of mobility, and 40% are ready to increase the usage of shared mobility, and 9 out of 10 Belgians employees want to telework 1 or 3 days a week after the COVID crisis. So it clearly shows a message, a new trend, coming in, a confirmation that it is possible. We can go to the next slide. Next slide, please. Okay, thanks. So that new mobility, a new flexible mobility, is something that's going to be a challenge for HR departments. And what does it mean? It will be a legal challenge. So car for car, cash for car is dead. The mobility budget is there. There is a cafeteria plan and other initiatives. Klaas explained that companies can be very inventive in the way they implement their own policies. So it can be confusing for an HR director to see what they can do or cannot do. In terms of mass solutions, it can be confusing as well because there are a lot of players on the market on top of the traditional public transport organizations. You have B2C, B2B aggregators, and Citra. So it can be very rich and confusing for an HR department. Also, it can be for them a considerable workload. If you want to implement flexible mobility, you will have to manage mobility policies that can be quite complex, especially with flexible mobility. It will have an impact on the payroll and also an impact on your fiscality. And if you go for the mobility budget, you will have to fulfill legal requirements as well. But they all agree that it brings you a competitive advantage to attract top talents and to reward your employees. We can go to the next slide. So that's why we decided to launch our product. Our mission is to help the HR departments of SMEs and corporates to implement and manage flexible and agreed mobility policies. So why did we decide to do that? What's our spirit? We believe that mobility should empower people and lead to a happier, freer, and sustainable society. That's what gets us up in the morning. And how do we want to achieve that? It's through technology. So it was said before that technology was not the only answer to mobility, but we believe it's part of it. And definitely we want to take care of that and help bring user-friendly technology in an integrated mobility ecosystem. And to do that, we have brought Umbrella to the market, which is an HR platform to enable flexible and green mobility. We can go to the next slide. This is an example of how we envision that. So a company wants to implement flexible mobility, they will deal with a lot of providers if they want to make it right. So they can have a payment card, they can have a provider for public transport subscription, car leaser, bike leaser, etc. And all of their employees might have almost a personal mobility policy corresponding to their needs and what they want to do with their mobility. So it can be really complex, and companies are going to need tools to manage that efficiently. And what's also important is to have a close collaboration with HR partners like Social Security, of course, to make sure that the paralleling of the mobility is done correctly. And more importantly, as Klaas could explain, they advise the clients a lot about mobility. So the clients are gonna need the right tools to do that. And go to the next slide. I wanted to show you also what we do concretely with our tool. So for the mobility budget, we enable our clients to create mobility budgets for their employees, so they can create it respecting all the requirements in the law. So all the legal stuff is there. We help them calculate the total budget, and then have a place where they can monitor on what's happening with the mobility budget of their employees. We can switch to the next slide. And what you can do there is track and centralize mobility consumptions. It can be done in two ways. They can be automatic with our integrated partners. So for instance, you give a payment card for mobility to your employees, all the expenses done there will be reported in the right budget in Umbrella. And it can also be done manually, meaning that all you don't have to give a payment card to your employees to consume mobility. They can do that on their own, or there are expenses that needs to be done manually. For instance, the rent. If you pay your rent with your mobility budget, you will have to pay first and then get reimbursed by your employer. That's the case where the employee can create an expense in Umbrella and get reimbursed afterwards by the employer. What's interesting here also is that we have the concept of fully dynamic budget consumption. So we've done with the past ideas of pre-allocated budgets for that time of transport or for parking or for fuel. It's a dynamic way of seeing mobility. We can go to the next slide. What's also important is that at the end of the month, the HR department can send the expenses done in the mobility budget to the Social Secretary. There we have mainly two kind of expenses. That's the second pillar expenses that need to be reimbursed to the employee so that they will be paid on the next payslip. And the pillar three, so at the end of the year or during the year when the employee leaves, we have to send to calculate that amount and send it to the Social Secretary for paying out to the employee. We can go to the next slide. That was on the side of the employer. Now, on the side of the employee, we really want to empower their mobility so that they can really act on it. They can see what is available for them from their employer in terms of mobility, and they can monitor what they do. So they can, for instance, for the mobility budget, they can track correctly what they do. They can report expenses. They can check the usage. They can check the documents that are related to their mobility budget, etc. Everything centralized in one place. They can also check their mobility assets that the company would give to them. So if we go to the next slide, you can see here that a company might enable a whole lot of policies for their employees. And so an employee can see all the policies that have been enabled for him and can activate them. So that can be public transport. If I need a subscription with a third party paying system, for instance, I can activate it. Mobility on the go, then if you have a payment card to pay for your pillar two in the mobility budget, for instance, bike to work is also really important and will become even more important in the coming month. There you have the kilometer allowance that is paid to you for your home work distance. But your employer can also make it available for you to have bike leasings easily or bike coaching from companies dedicated to that, that you can use. All the info is centralized here. But these are just examples of policies that might be enabled for employees. We can go to the next slide. Who we are working with, to conclude, we work with a lot with social securities, as I would say, since we believe that we have also a role to play in the way they advise their clients. And we, with mobility providers, with social securities, we are working especially with Atencia, Partenaire, Securex, but we are discussing with all of them. And mobility providers, we are currently integrated with Modalizzi, Skipper, MyMove, and we are finalizing the Olympus integration. But that might, we also have developed ways to integrate manually with all other providers. So that was it for me. You have my contacts on the last slide. If you were interested in talking a bit more about that, don't hesitate or visit our website.
Thank you very much, Amaury, for also a great presentation. And I can't emphasize enough how we are impressed with Vigo and Umbrella, and how the tools are evolving, coming certainly back to one of class comments that we really need full automation on the admin side. These are very rich presentations. The same was true for class. I feel a little bit bad that I'm kind of cutting the Q&A on your presentations short, but I hope you'll forgive me when also keeping an eye on the time. And we would like, of course, also to zoom out and to have people's take on what do we learn from all of this. Very rich presentations, focusing, I would say, on many things, going from Floris, who was telling us at a certain moment that we should rethink the mobility budget completely. I took the liberty, Floris, to put in the chat actually some of your crisp and new proposals. I also put in the chat a couple of the takeaways of class, also very clear and rich on the mobility budget. But we have, of course, also heard Mareike and Xavier talk about the need for marketing. And we have actually just two questions to try and bring this together, and I'm looking with Kurt whether it works, and that is actually using the Mentimeter. I'm not sure, Kurt, can you hear me? Kurt, can you hear me? So that is apparently not the case.
I can hear you, Peter. I'm just checking how we can go to the next question. Just a second.
So sorry for this. We have actually a good experience using Menti to take takeaways on board from all the participants. And so the two questions that we actually planned were first, what is the best marketing element in your view to promote marketing mass and sustainable mobility? So that is the marketing part that we've seen pop up in different presentations. So maybe you can share this with us. Marketing wise, how can we actually support? I see a couple of ideas popping up. I think we've all seen, I'm repeating myself, but both in the presentation of Shirley Mareike and also the presentation of Xavier. Xavier touched at a certain moment on the budgets that at this moment are used for marketing different modes. So with me, I think you read different elements. We see indeed the testimonials, we see the coaching, we see the fun elements, the awareness elements. I remember Xavier indicating at one insight very promising impacts and results when people have been coached or trained or have been part of games, and at the same time the reluctance of companies to invest in it. Hence my question, maybe it should also be in the mobility budget a possibility to have personal coaching. So very interesting, you see the positive information and messages being popped up, quite rich. We have one last question to you. Of course, we will share this result and try to also summarize it, hopefully with you, with some key takeaways. So marketing-wise, it is clear that in terms of awareness, many things still need to be done. And I assume that Kurt is trying to bring up our last question that we would also like to address via Mentimeter. And that last question is, we have talked about the mobility budget. We've seen, of course, the different feedback on it. But what are the essential parts to fix this straitjacket, as Klaas was calling it? And frankly, Klaas' very rich presentation shows that companies are doing all sorts of other things. So amazing that this tool is not doing its job to really promote a more multimodal approach amongst employees. So we see coming up, indeed, broadening it. We see the simplicity, which of course doesn't surprise us. In terms of elements, that should be included, we have a couple of things. Make it green focused, which is, it is, of course, I'm reading with you what is popping up. We have actually also some suggestions during the call about specific elements to be added. So we clearly see pop up, make it clear and open for everybody. During the calls, we have specific elements like includes parking, relax the constraint for CO2 emissions, and other elements. So quite clear. It would be interesting. I'm not sure whether it is possible. We are rounding up and we're coming to this overall conclusions. Maybe we can go back if Floris is still with us on the call. He advocated a fresh take on the mobility budget and on the approach, which is always interesting. Floris, are you still with us?
I am, Peter. I'm a bit nervous of what you're going to ask me next, but I am.
I hope so, but as you know, it will always be a friendly question. My question is, of course, it will, to start from scratch, would of course take quite a lot of time. At the same time, while I'm asking the question, is it possible to work in parallel, improving the mobility budget at the one hand side? Eloise was indicating that VBO FAB is working on it. We are certainly keen to support, to make specific new proposals to improve mobility budget by, for instance, September. And at the same time, the other track of starting from scratch. How do you deal with the fact that both seem to be desirable? At the one hand side, improving the mobility budget and opening, let's say, a fresh approach. Eloise was frankly also suggesting that somehow this is also being explored behind the curtain. So what's your take on that?
That's a big question. And I learned a few things here on you know, we should not focus on the car, which I think was an excellent starting point if you want to, you know, start fresh on what kind of systems should we need, and, you know, with all the attributes that popped up. I like that. I like that a lot with the quantitative approach from our colleagues from Antwerp and how to combine it. Because I do think, for example, the last session proved that whatever system it is, technology and the market will take care of it and take the complexity out of it. But, you know, we might not be able to fix everything and the public sector or the law. The law needs to do things. So if you would start from the idea that was voiced earlier, and you know, let's look really holistic, and holistic doesn't mean, you know, the idea is not to get or only to get people out of the car. I do think we could get to some very interesting results. I'm not able to come up with something creative here in 30 seconds, but I learned a lot here during the sessions that I think would constitute, and those two points in particular, to me, are the start of what we could do on taking a fresh start and introducing a fresh view, also for politicians, where, you know, it's usually always about the company car, and you know, give that restart idea some body. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense, Peter, but that's my 1 minute take on it.
Yes, as usual, Floris, and you see why I'm not risking or not hesitating to throw these kind of questions in your direction. We will, of course, share all the results and what was appearing on the chat. We will invite, as with us, other people also to share some takeaways from this. I am careful in still trying to ask some kind of overall conclusion, indicate that there are clearly some urgent issues in the mobility budget that needs to be addressed. At the same time, and again, I believe Eloisa hinted at it, we need to embrace a fresh start. And maybe, as Floris was saying, it resonates with me as well, his two points, maybe biking, not car, company cars or car ownership should be starting points, but branching out from biking from another angle. And of course, as Floris, I was also impressed, and I like the quantitative analysis, the data based approach of Antwerp. Not only of Antwerp, of all the speakers, of course, we are very grateful. We will share your presentations and also the, of course, interaction that we welcome still after the call. I'm keeping one eye on the chat and one eye also on the clock. And I think it is safe to gently close the call. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you very much, all the speakers. As I'm closing, Kurt is indicating, as often our Congress that will be coming up on the 24th of September, in which many people already registered. So we're looking forward to that, and of course, interacting with you at the Congress and beforehand. Thank you very much for joining. Thank you very much for speaking and sharing your ideas. And we really look forward to speaking to you soon. Take care.